Are you ready now? Be my queen, destiny love. All you need got into you. Anything you want, my girl. Anywhere you want, my love. PremiumBeat.com. All right, guys, welcome back. Sorry, we had a nice cliffhanger there, and I thought it would be a good chance to give you all a breather and absorb the last 45 minutes or so, depending on what goes in and what doesn't. But anyway, let's see. So yeah, welcome back. Angela, you segued to moving into this new situation that that ushered in a new, not so positive era that included debt, basically. So I think that's where we had stopped. So yeah, let's unpack this. Let's unpack this.
So basically, I moved into this new place, and you know, it was just me looking for a fresh start and a new beginning. But let me tell you, the thing about not healing properly from your past experiences and stuff like that, you get into destructive behavior.
Yeah.
That's one thing I can tell you. You get into completely destructive behavior. So it's really important for you to acknowledge, okay, I have been through a lot. And there were so many things that I needed to have dealt with, but I didn't. And so that pain was consistent. It was constant within me. I was struggling, you know, moving from one toxic relationship to other toxic situations, you know, with people that I shouldn't even have been with, you know, just simply trying to feel again that void, that I can't even explain, that emptiness somebody feels. And then you're trying to fill it up with all this destructive nonsense, but nothing is happening. You know, nothing is happening. You're drinking, you're overeating, you're oversleeping, you're crying constantly, you're going shopping and buying things that you don't even need. You know, completely destructive behavior. It's like you're trying to feel something. I can't really even explain it, but no, it was...
I get what you're saying. I completely understand. And it's always the case that, and I'm not trying to say there was addiction involved, but it's always like, for example, you'll find that people who are battling addiction will almost always substitute that with something else, you know? So it's kind of just that feeling of, okay, I've removed this from my life, but I now need to fill whatever void that was filling with something else. So I need to do something to stop me from allowing the emotions that come with that, you know, to sink in. So just filling up the void, as you said. I mean, that's going through depression to whatever degree, and anxiety, it's you feel like you're in a hole, and you feel like there's many things that don't satisfy you in life.
You know, and then also at work, the one place that I could have called my escape, you know, people were there talking about me like, oh my gosh, from the beginning, I remember like this, she's dating a married man, like, oh my gosh.
Oh, so the rumors began.
Like the rumors began. So you see, even for me, I ruined my reputation, you know, it's not something as a woman you want sticking to you, Koi. To be honest, that is not a title that you want sticking to you as a woman. And when I look back at my childhood, I had such beautiful dreams. Like I had this idea of the kind of man that I wanted to marry, the kind of man that I wanted as a father to my children, the kind of life that I wanted to live. And it did not involve this. You know, I strayed away from something that I believed I deserved into something that was convenient for me at the time, you know? And it ended up, you know, hurting me for a really, really long time. It took me years to heal from that situation. And not just from the relationship aspect of it. There are so many other things that happened within that relationship that, again, I honestly don't feel ready to open up to some of those things. Because I feel I would also be judged as a woman, especially when you talk about some of those things. So I'm just not ready for all that scrutiny. But I suffered a lot in that relationship. I shed a lot of tears in that relationship. There was a lot of healing that I needed to have done. But the thing people don't realize about healing is you first have to acknowledge that you're in pain. And for most people, it's like you're just like, no, I'm fine. I'm doing great. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm good. Like any time we'd meet, I was always smiling, I was always laughing, I was always this and that, and be, but inside I was really, you know, really, really struggling.
Yeah.
So basically, yes, I got into debt, and it was such a scary, scary situation. And it started off small. It started off really, really small. But then it's something, something about debt is it starts off small, and then it just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. And that's what happens to me. And before you know it, you're in this huge mess. You are just like, what in the world have I just created? Like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah.
And I was trapped in that toxic cycle all throughout even COVID.
Wow.
And the worst thing is, during COVID, our salaries were slashed.
Cut. Yeah.
Cut.
So I was
able to pay Imagine you're in this huge mess. And the money that you used to rely on to pay off your debts has now been...
Did that lead you to now even want to borrow more to make up for that?
Exactly. Now that's when I said, like, now taking my household items to loan on items. You have to make up the difference. Exactly. You know, so, oh my gosh, there were times where my house would be completely empty. No microwave, no fridge, no kettle, no TV. Sometimes I wouldn't even have my phone. And then you're going to work and people are asking you, hey, Kwani, where is your phone? Why do you have a kabambe? Like, oh my gosh, imagine my phone. I was out last night and my screen cracked. So I've taken it somewhere to be made. You know, now with debt, you find yourself lying. Oh,
It was a crazy mess.
As in, it's just one mess on top of the other. On top of the other.
It becomes a snowball, gathering and gathering.
Exactly. And because debt is such a shameful thing, you find yourself lying. And once you tell one lie, you have to tell another lie to cover up for that lie. And it just keeps going and going and going and going. So it was such a stressful situation. And I remember now when I was dealing with the loan apps. Ooh.
Oh, gosh. And we all know those psychos that sit behind those loan apps. It's basically loan sharks. It's basically loan sharks.
Oh my gosh, those people are brutal. They are ruthless. Do you know they called almost everyone in that building where I work?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
People I'd never even met. People I didn't even know what in that building. They were called. It was such a shameful situation. Oh, it was such a painful, shameful situation. But let me tell you something. When I look back at all of it now, there was a purpose for all that pain.
Yeah.
And one of the most beautiful things that have come out from this situation is my relationship with God. My relationship with God is so important because God was there when nobody else was.
Yeah.
As in, that is the one person that I'm going to say kept me alive.
Yeah.
Kept me alive. I got into such a severe depression. Like, I would lay on my couch for days, weeks on end, not brushing my teeth. I remember sometimes I would even scratch my teeth. And
plaque
on the fingers, like, it was that bad. I had a thick white layer on my tongue, which took like a whole week of me brushing twice a day,
to get rid of that, it was really bad.
Like, the stench that was coming out of me, like, I had no idea a human being could smell that bad.
Yeah,
my house was so dirty. And I'm such a clean freak.
Yeah, you are.
I'm such a clean freak. In fact, when people come to my house, I'm constantly cleaning. After people have left, I'm there fluffing up the pillows, rearranging everything. Like, I am a clean freak. But I couldn't be bothered. I was going through,
I'm just curious. When you were going through it, could you see you were going through something, but you just couldn't do anything about it? Or were you just in a place where nothing mattered?
No, I could see that I was going through something, but also I just felt like there was nobody that I could turn to. Yeah. One thing I've realized about my life is I had a lot of drinking buddies. I didn't have friends. I had a lot of drinking buddies, you know, people for fun times, even in family. Yeah. Like, I didn't feel like there was anybody I could really open up to. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I've gotten to question a lot during this period of my life is my relationships. And there are a lot of people that I have cut out from my life, because a lot of people, I realized, were just there for the good times. But the minute things started getting ugly for me, I was no longer important in their lives, because I was important when I was bringing fun, when I was buying drinks, or when I was the life of the party. I was important then. But now serious things were going on in my life. I wasn't that important anymore. Yeah. And that's one of the things that God does for you when you start reaching out to Him and you start praying to Him. He opens up your eyes to the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you get to realize so many things about people, even family.
No, and I also wanted to get on that. So brilliant segue. Yeah, I mean, I'm always having this, I would say, debate with different people in my life. So family relationships and like what that means, and this kind of thinking that, you know, blood is always going to be more important than the other people who bring, you know, different kinds of relationships into your life. And I, you know, I'm a firm believer that, and this is how I live my life. There's people who are my family who aren't my blood, right? And there's people who are my family and are not my friends. And like, I realized that through, of course, different things happening. And when you kind of step back and you kind of hear things that are being said about you by different family members, or, you know, you just, there's nothing aside from the fact that you are related to me in one way that makes you think, or makes people think that we then have to nurture that relationship. So, and I think it took a long time for my mom to understand this, because I always used to say, you know, why should I be the one to do that? Why do I have to be the one to reach out? People have their, everyone is capable of forming relationships. There are people who are my friends, and when I tell you these people are my family and I would choose them over other people, I'm telling you I would. But because of what they have represented to me in my life. Now, I understand when people say that, you know, there are people who in your family will always be there for you, will always be there for you. And I understand what they mean by the blood element. I don't not agree with that, but I also don't agree that we have to ensure we have friendships with all our family members. I don't believe that. It's all about how things have happened between you. If they didn't work, they didn't work. It doesn't mean you cannot be cordial, but there's nothing in the rule book that says if you have to just manage every single family member and put them on the same pedestal simply because they have blood that you kind of share. I'm a firm believer in that. But of course, I want to hear, you know, about what you think. And of course, I'm not going to, you know, as far as saying that if something was to happen between myself and my mom, myself and my dad, that I would cut people off. No. I believe that the people who make you play a very special part in your life, of course, your life is because of them. And there's a certain element of respect and love you will always have to show to these people by virtue of the fact that they gave you this life. So don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say that I sometimes think there's an unhealthy approach towards what family actually means to people, you know? So I just want to hear your take on, you know, family relationships, friendships, whatever that means.
Okay, for me, one thing I can say is there's this toxic ideology that has been drilled into us from the moment we were kids. Our parents telling us family is everything. Family is everything. Family isn't everything. Yeah. Is it important? Yes.
Yes.
But is it everything? No. And why I'll say family is important is because family, how I see it, is family is a window into the outside world.
Yeah.
The people that you have in your family, and I'm not just talking about nuclear, I'm talking extended, I'm talking everybody that you share a blood relation with. The people that you have in your family, that is a reflection of the people that you're going to meet out there. I remember one thing my dad told me is, if you cannot maneuver the relationships within your family, you're going to have a problem with relationships out there. And that mm-hmm. is very, very true. And mm-hmm. one thing I can say, maneuvering relationships within family doesn't mean that you have to be close and buddy-buddy and tight with everybody.
Yeah,
you just correct. Have to understand the characteristics, understand mm-hmm. how to deal with certain people, how mm-hmm. to handle certain people.
Mm-hmm.
That way, when you meet this kind of people in the outside yeah. world, you've really understood it within your own family unit, and yeah. now you know how to deal with it in the outside yeah. world. That's yeah. one thing people need to understand. God yeah. placed us in these units for us to learn and understand, because yeah. everything with us starts from conception.
Yeah.
Right? The moment yeah. we are conceived and born into this family unit, everything that we become is a result of what we experienced or went yeah. through in that family yeah. unit. So if yeah. you fail to understand the relationships and the mm-hmm. characteristics, you'll have a difficult time
mm-hmm.
with other mm-hmm. relationships. I don't know if what I'm saying is making sense.
No, I so see what you're saying.
I see family as a window into the yeah. outside world. Like yeah. the people in your family is a reflection of the people that you will meet and experience out there. Let me give an example. For example, mm-hmm. a person who's battling addiction. You have an auntie mm-hmm. or a cousin or a brother or a sister who's battling addiction.
Yeah.
When you meet somebody out there that is battling addiction, you yeah. have taken your time to understand this family member yeah. that is battling addiction. Why this person probably started using and taking drugs and mm-hmm. stuff like that. What are the characteristics to look out for of somebody who's, you know, addicted to something?
Yeah.
So when you meet somebody out there, you've already understood it in yeah. your own family. So you know how to handle this person, you know,
yeah.
without even judging them. So yeah. family is important to me in that sense. But yeah. is it everything? No, it isn't everything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're yeah. saying.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, again, you know, it's a very subjective thing. So I don't want to impose my opinions or anything. And I believe you'll never have a fully correct and a fully, you know, like objective yeah. way of saying that your way of mm-hmm. viewing it is the way. Mm-hmm. But I get what mm-hmm. you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, it is true that they're a reflection of the people you'll meet outside, especially because we also inherit trauma from our family. Oh, so we yes, pick up, definitely. Yeah. So a big part of the mistakes we make as adults is as a result, and I believe this to the core, of unresolved childhood trauma or oh, unresolved yes, things yes. that happened, you know. So for example, as you said, if you saw if your dad was an alcoholic, or if your mm-hmm. You know, your mom was an alcoholic, like anything, it could be whatever. Mm. Or you had a dad who was abusive or anything of the sort.
Mm.
Somehow, when you do make mistakes in the outside world, many times it's because of that. So you know how you hear stories of people who were like molested by their dad when they were younger, and then they go out there and they end up being attracted to men who are abusive or who treat them in a bad way, or then or become like obsessed with sex or whatever, you know. So it's, I believe that as well. And I believe that you do pick up a lot of trauma from your childhood that often results in you making bad decisions. So my question to you is, do you feel as though some of the mistakes you made was as a result of unresolved childhood traumas from your childhood experience? Is that something you can definitely. Say for sure? I know why definitely. I did that now. Yeah,
exactly, definitely. You see, like even in the relationships that I've gotten into, you know,
yeah.
For various reasons, some things that I witnessed, you know, growing up, mm-hmm. you know, as a mm-hmm. child. So definitely a lot of the wrong choices I have made, my childhood has played a really, really big role. And you see, that just brings me back to exactly what I was saying. If you cannot bring yourself to understand, you know, even yourself within that family unit, Koi, even healing. You see, when you experience childhood trauma, we tend to, what should I use? Ignore. You don't want to deal with it. You want to ignore it. So by ignoring, you can't even heal, you know? Yeah. So what I was saying was, it's a window. Your family is a window. You're supposed to understand yourself and the people in that family unit for you to have a positive experience with yourself out there. So mm-hmm. if you don't do that, you will take your traumatized self, okay, and bring that trauma into the outside world.
And amplify it.
and amplify it. Exactly. Yeah. So it is really important for you to understand and accept, I have been through some shit.
Yeah.
I need to walk through some shit.
Yeah, for sure.
I go on even affecting innocent people with my poor choices.
Who are just catching strays.
Exactly. And that is exactly what I did. I had so many innocent people, you know, even within my own family, you know. And that's one thing I realized about everything that I've been through is I'm not a victim. None of these things were done to me. I did them to myself. Where I am at life is an accumulation of my poor life choices. Only I had come to that realization of, wow, Angela, you have a lot of things you need to deal with.
Yeah.
If only I had been brave enough to tackle some of those issues much earlier on, my path would have been totally different.
Wow. Honestly, Angela, but I love your vulnerability. There's not many people who can look at themselves in the mirror and honestly atone for the things that they that they have done, especially when it involves other people too. There's not many people who are able to accept their fault in things. Exactly. And I'm learning how to, so of course I have my partner, we live together. Mm-hmm. When we have disagreements, it's so easy for you to want to impose that your view on things is the right one and they're wrong, especially when you are the person in question who's being told that this is not this was not a good thing from you. But I'm learning that I have this, especially where it takes me a while for me to listen to criticism, especially from my partner, and be like, you know what, that was me. That's on me, and I'm really sorry. It's been a journey. I'm in a much better place, but I realized that that also comes from a place where I've always felt like I needed to prove myself and needed to kind of step out of this, like, you know, being the last born and always feeling like you had shoes to fill and so on and so forth. And so that giving you the kind of armor, what you wanting to always say, but look, I can do this. I can stand up for myself. I'm fighting. And I realized that I'm having to do the shadow work, and I'm a lot more like, okay, listen, also learn how to put yourself in a situation where you have to create empathy in order to understand other people's experiences of you. The way people see you versus the way you see yourself, two very different things. And so if somebody can stop you and tell you, I didn't like XYZ thing, you really should take your time to step out and say, okay, so this is something someone has seen in me. I need to work on it. And now every time we're in a situation where we are maybe having a disagreement about something, I always try and listen to what he's saying and be like, okay, you're right. I was wrong. And I'm only getting defensive because I have this need where I need to feel like I have to be heard, even though I'm in the wrong. So what I'm trying to bring this all to is that in order for people to heal, in order for people to understand that everyone's life experience is different and what they bring, and a lot of the times the things that are not so good about what they bring is not all the time their fault. It's also people just trying to be grown-ups with an adult, with a children, like a childlike trauma, and carrying with that and being able to acknowledge your fault, you know? So I the exercise I do is I always, especially when relationships have fallen apart, I always try and say, what was your part in that breakdown of that relationship? And once you do that... Once you do that, you also learn to forgive yourself. And that's something I also had to do, because I also did some things I'm not proud of at all. And, you know, it took a while to forgive myself for some of the things that I did, because I thought that, I mean, shit happens. But when I realized that it was a consequence of my decision that caused this person this much pain and hurt, I went through a stage of being guilty about feeling guilty, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, mm-hmm. why do I feel bad when I'm the one who did that, you know? So I had to really face the ugliness that I have, that I had, mm-hmm. and I believe I've let it go and I'm letting it go to accept mm-hmm. that it's the only way to create another human experience for someone else, you know? You mm-hmm. have to look deep within yourself.
You really have to be. Oh my gosh, because self-awareness is so important. Yeah. Like, I don't think somebody should be able to tell you more about yourself than you, you know? And to me, that's what self-awareness is. Like, even before somebody tells you you're moody, you already know you're moody. Even before somebody tells you you're disrespectful, you already know you're disrespectful. Even before somebody tells you you're mouthy, you know you're mouthy. You know, nobody should be able to tell you about you better than you.
Yeah, true.
You Very should true. Know yourself better. Yeah. So that to me is what self-awareness is. And one of the things that I like that you've mentioned is with each relationship that you've been in, you've written down like, okay, what role did I play in bringing that relationship to an end, you know? What were sort of some of my negative traits? What things did I do in that relationship that I wish I could have done differently? And I think that's really important. And it's you building self-awareness, and I think it's really, really cool.
Okay. I feel like we could end up talking forever. So I actually wanted to come on to the part of the show where I bring to you a little dilemma. Before we get into that, let's see if we have time for that, because I'm seeing we might end up here for 4 hours. But let's bring in a bit of a lighter tone just to lighten up the mood. And for us to, I think I'm very interested to hear your opinion on this, because it also talks about relationships. So I don't know if you know these subreddit pages. There's one called Am I the Asshole? So they have some of the best, most hilarious dilemmas. This one is a bit more serious, but anyway. So the title is Am I the Asshole for Wanting to End My 13-Year Friendship Over This? So the person, would it be wrong for me to end my relationship suddenly, mainly because we're in different and opposing friends groups? My friend, 17 female, and myself, 16 female, are in a friend group that hate each other. I've known her new best friend since I was born, and we had issues with each other all the time growing up. Regardless of me telling her about the various things her new best friend has done to me, she ignores it and starts fights with me about not giving her friend a chance. Don't get me wrong, I could care less about who she wants to be friends with, but I don't want to be forced to become friends with the people I have a problem with, just because she says so. This friend group thing isn't the only issue, though. To explain in brief, she also has stood me up multiple times for guys that she thinks are into her, when some are in committed relationships already. She hates all my friends and my boyfriend when they want nothing to do with her. A lot of the people she claims are her friends have told me personally that they actually find her behavior off-putting and brat-like. I don't defend her when people tell me this, even though we're close friends, which is wrong of me, but I kind of agree. So would I be the asshole for ending this friendship over this?
Hell no. Koi, how many times does somebody need to tell you I don't love you? As in, you know, sometimes somebody doesn't even use me to say the words. As in, first of all, she's constantly dumping you for various men that she's dating. So the minute she starts dating somebody, you're no longer important. Then number two, somebody who loves you will never be comfortable being around somebody that is disrespecting you. That is a love and that is a friendship.
Exactly.
There's no way I can come to you, Koi, and tell you, this friend of yours is calling me names, is bullying me, has done A, B, C, D, and you're cool with it.
Yeah.
You're basically saying to me, I agree. I am not important. And exactly.
Yeah.
And then
also
the fact that she hasn't defended her when other people have called her behavior off-putting.
Yeah.
It already just goes to show, like, she already knows this person is a bad friend.
Yeah.
Just
exactly.
End that friendship. End it.
Yeah. Yeah. 13 years. I agree. Yeah. 13 years. Imagine. So basically, these people are 16 and they've been friends since they were 3. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Like, this is what I'm saying. Yeah.
End it before things get really bad. Because sometimes, sorry, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm choking.
She's anyway, in shock.
You know, sometimes, the thing is, sometimes God throws, you know, I did this thing on YouTube, signs that God may use to show you that he didn't want a certain person or people in your life. And one of the things is chaos. That person is constantly bringing chaos into your life. Like your friendship is constantly chaotic.
Yeah.
God doesn't come with chaos. God brings peace in every situation. So if that relationship you're in is chaotic, that isn't from God at all. So he's going to use subtle, you know, subtle hints here and there. And then if you ignore them, sadly, he will allow this person or people to hurt you so badly to the point where you'll have no choice but to walk away. It doesn't need to get that far. This person is showing you and telling you they don't love you, they don't care for you, you're not important, you don't matter. Just walk away. You know this thing of, oh, we've known each other since we were three. So freaking what? People change.
So freaking what? Exactly.
Even the same 16-year-old now. Yeah. People change. Yeah. People become different from what you once knew. Accept it and move on, you know? There's something more beautiful waiting for you out there if only you allow yourself to leave this toxic situation.
Yeah.
You know, stop feeling stuck there at because at we've known we are literally like family. Like, what the? In what? Oh, hell no.
Oh, no, man. Leave. Leave ASAP. You know what? You know what I find so funny? It's like, I don't know, there's this person I follow on Instagram who is like, he takes these clips of people explaining their dilemmas and then he just stands there with like a red flag waving, running back and forth in the screen. You know, like how many times do I have to raise this flag for you to see that this person needs, it's not for you. It's not for you. You have to, end it. End it, my friend. Say your piece, walk away. And don't look back.
Really bad.
Exactly.
Because that friend seems like somebody who can even, you know, there are so many instances, anyway, I'm derailing, but anyway, there are so many situations, especially in the UK, where women have had acid thrown in their faces by their so-called best friends.
Like, you know,
there are some people with jealous tendencies towards you. Like, don't let it get that far. Just walk away. Yeah. End things.
Walk
you
away.
Don't have to be like this major fight. Like,
no, you can
honestly just have a conversation and be like, I think we're moving in two totally different directions. I love you. I will forever have a soft spot for you. I mean, we've known each other since we were ABCD, but I need to move forward in ABCD.
You'd be surprised how badly those things go, though, even when you try and be even when you try to be amicable about it. People then say, get off your high horse, or who do you think you are? Or, let me tell you, navigating friendships that...
I'm good.
Yeah. Navigating friendships that don't work for you, even in a way that you're trying to be peaceful, is never... It never ends well. But again, you know, you only can hope and pray that this person can also heal themselves. And maybe you are just not meant for each other at all. You know, maybe you're just... You're just literally oil and water. Yes. Woo! Don't you come back.
Jack, don't you come back no more. Bye.
Bye. I love it. I knew that this would be, be a good one.
Yeah.
I was trying to think what kind of dilemma would be good. And I was like, you know, there's always the one of, oh, my best friend slept with my boyfriend, my sister. The last one I did was, she ended up two sisters. One of them had, the older one had sisters. The older one had a boyfriend. That the younger sister had a crush on, but never said anything. Then they broke up. And then now the small sister decided. So the small sister was
basically.
It just happened. Huh? Like, honestly, that dilemma was.
Just let me tell you, that sister was eyeing that man from the
moment. From the beginning.
I hate it when people say, happened, you know, and even when I see that in movies, I feel like breaking the screen. Oh, somebody just happened. Something just flew onto your lap, and you ended up cheating on me. Wow, it just happened. Like, seriously,
Oh my God, it's so true. Anyway, my opinion.
Excuses for stupidity.
Yeah, it's really like, oh, he said, you know, it's honestly, go listen to that dilemma. I was so triggered. I was like, what the hell? And there'll be some people, they're like, oh, but, you know, it didn't work out. And I'm like, well, why weren't she straightforward to the sister? Like, yo, I kind of love your boyfriend. Would it be okay if I hit that? Of course, it's never going to work either way. But like, people, as I said, people like problems. People like problems in their life.
People need to understand boundaries. Like, you know, like, you remember when I asked Wangui's boyfriend for money? You remember, like, that was such a crossing of a boundary. You know, like, you should never. It should never. There's no, as in, it's not. There's no way until you just end up dating your sister's boyfriend. You have been envious of your sister's situation, and you waited for that moment, for that relationship to end, so that you could pounce on that man. You are waiting. 100%. You are waiting 100%. Things just don't happen. Yeah. Feelings don't just develop. Feelings are in the making, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true. So I mean, yeah, that the dilemma I read in the previous episode was also for me crazy. But what you find on Reddit is absolutely insane. So Angela, as we come towards the conclusion of our fantastic conversation, I just wanted to, let's just start at, of course, now you're into content, you know, you have content going out on YouTube, you're exploring that space. Maybe you can talk about how you got into that, and then of course some of the content you speak to there. And just, you know, also wanted to kind of come back to the, you know, we always used to enjoy our glass of wine, you and I. That was our shared love. We had our fair share of drinking the wine, crying, because red wine sometimes, you know, it lets all the feelings out when you've had too much of it. God bless our soul. Wine. Yeah, but of course, you know, you have you're at the point in your life where you decided that you were going to stop drinking. Let's just talk about this phase of your life. Let's talk about the present now, where we are.
So basically, after everything happened to me, like I mentioned earlier, the one beautiful thing that came out from all that trauma was my relationship with God. Because at the end of the day, when everybody exits your life, when you begin isolating yourself from people, you begin to hear God's voice much more clearer because there are no distractions. So for those 2 years when I lay on my couch depressed, the one thing that I was constantly doing was praying. I was constantly praying, Koi, like praying, worshiping, you know, get down on your knees, crying, listening to worship music. And it was through all that prayer and worshiping and getting closer to God that he even began to speak to me about going on the LNS show. And I remember when you were here last, I talked to you about it and I told you, like, there's something God has placed in me to do, but I'm feeling so afraid. Excuse me. Remember when we talked about doing the LNS? And you were just like, girl, do it. Like, you have such an interesting story to tell. Just do it. Just do it. And one of the reasons I remember I delayed was, yes, you told me do it, but I made a mistake of approaching various other people.
Mm-hmm.
And first person I approached was like, hell no, don't do it. You're going to bring shame to the family and blah, blah, blah. And so that really, like, really scared me because I was like, what will my dad say? The thing I was most afraid of was, what will my dad say? But let me tell you, the beautiful thing about God is when he has put something inside of you, all those roadblocks, everything you are afraid of, God has already handled. Do you know when I did that interview, everyone in my dad's family, Koi, everybody, my aunties, my uncles, everybody reached out, even the toughest critics.
Yeah.
To tell me congratulations. My own dad was like, I watched that interview. It was you were very well spoken. He went on to say, I didn't even know that you have such a good command of the English language. You know, I was what in the world?
Oh, African parents will violate you guys.
like, I mean, when we talk, I talk to you in English. I mean, what do you mean? I think my dad just didn't think I'm book smart because, you know, I was that person who was constantly failing in class. So I think for him, because I'm like, Dad, we talk in English. Like, what do you mean you didn't know I had a good command of the English language? Anyway, and then he told me, mm-hmm. never go back to that past, to your past mm-hmm. again. It's done mm-hmm. and it's finished. I mean, it was such a beautiful conversation. And yeah. it even brought us closer. Like yeah. now me and my dad, we are really, really close. And that's yeah. the beautiful thing about, let me tell you, when God, oh my gosh, you see everything, all these things could have buried me.
Yeah.
But the minute I decided to share my story and go public with it,
yeah,
and put my own narrative on it, because there were so many people that were speaking on me.
Yeah.
Telling even things that weren't true about me. Yeah. You know, trying to get people to have a different perspective about me. It was hard. Mm. It was, you know, and I was just like, enough. I can't. I'm going to share my story so that anytime anybody hears anything about me, they can yeah. always go back to that interview, watch it, and listen to me yeah. speaking on it in my own words, in my own yeah. voice.
Yeah.
And then also by speaking on it, the shame that I'd been feeling, the shame and the fear,
yeah.
it just left me because I had now put everything out there in the public.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that shame, it just left. It freed me.
Yeah.
And that is when I started creating content, which is something that I've always wanted to do, even when I was working at Radio Africa.
Yeah.
I stayed at Radio Africa for 8 years. And mm-hmm. within the fourth year, I was already feeling like I needed to leave this place.
Yeah. I remember we had conversations. Yeah.
I used to quit. I used to tell everybody that would hear me, I want to quit. I want to quit. Something is telling me to quit my job. Do you know, Koi, the minute I quit after this scandal of loan apps, the minute I quit, 1 year later, Radio Africa, Kiss TV shut down. So God already Crazy. Knew there was no future here, you know, because God sees ahead, you know. So sometimes we stay in situations not meant for us, or some situations are meant to be temporary, but mm-hmm. we make them permanent, you know, and we end up like missing out on so many other great things, you know. Who knows what would have happened if I had left when something was telling me to leave? Who knows what would have happened if I'd taken the risk, you know, if I believed God had a plan for me? Who knows what would have happened? But anyway, everything has happened as it happened. And, you know, so I really wanted to create content. And the minute I did this interview, I'd already opened my YouTube page. Mm-hmm. The minute I did this interview, let me tell you, within 2 weeks, I was at 4,000 and something. Like,
that's just crazy.
So God created
it blew up.
For me a platform. It just blew up.
Yeah.
So one thing that I was doing while I was at home isolating and, you know, dealing with all these things was cooking. So I was just like, I love cooking, I'm good at it. So why not just share my recipes and the things I've learned? So I was like, I'm going to share that. And then I love having inspiring and insightful conversations. Mm-hmm. And that's what bred this My Take that I post and share every Tuesday. So basically, I just share life views
mm-hmm.
based on Bible teachings, like things I've experienced and things I've learned from the Bible. And mm-hmm. I just like bring that together.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I've talked about is my celibacy journey. I've talked about walking away from toxic situations. Mm-hmm. I've talked about self-control. I've talked mm-hmm. about so many things. And then now bringing the word of God into it and things I've learned throughout mm-hmm. my experiences. That is exactly what I do. And now something that I want to introduce is lifestyle. I want to do more of that because people are demanding for more of that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to see how I can do that with the resources that I have. So mm-hmm. what I'm growing. It is it's a growing channel. I've been at this for 8 months now.
Okay.
So hopefully as I keep on at it, I get better at it and I keep growing and growing. And you know, more beautiful things just keep coming my way. You mentioned my quitting to drink. That was a choice I made. Especially I was at your folks' party.
I
remember December, and this was the first time, to be honest, that I'd been around that side of the family after everything that had happened.
Yeah.
So for me, there was a lot of anxiety and stuff like that. And then also, you know, the situation with, you know, some of the people that were there, not really good. So I ended up drinking wine. And it just took me back to the person that I used to be. And I didn't like that feeling. I remember coming home and just crying and just saying, like, that's it, I'm done. I can't. Yeah. I can't go back to the place that you've removed me from. Yeah. I can't. So that is why I'm very particular now. Nowadays, when being invited to places, I find out who's going to be there. Is it worth it? If it's no, I stay home. What else? And the urge to drink has just left. The urge even, you know, to have sex just left me. You know, with constant prayer and with God in your life, he removes those toxic things from you.
Yeah.
One moment you wake up and you no longer have the urge to drink. You no longer have the urge to go out to clubs. You no longer have the urge to dress a certain way. You no longer even have the urge to curse. Even the content that you're consuming is completely different. Like, just change. You know, and it's such a beautiful thing. Yeah, so I'm enjoying the journey that I'm on now. I'm really, really enjoying not waking up with hangovers and, you know, learning myself more and more. And then now there's so much silence around me that I'm forced to deal with a lot of the things that I had refused to deal with in the past. Yeah. One of those things is pain. Pain, anger. From so many things that I've been through, you know, resentment and hatred and bitterness, you know, all those things. You're forced to examine yourself, deal with those things, you know, and I don't know, it's just a beautiful journey and I'm enjoying it and I'm having fun.
Yeah. No, and I'm really happy. I'm really happy for you. And honestly, you look good. You look happy. I think that there's a certain glow that you have that is screaming contentment and happiness, and you know, I think you're really in your
weight. Like, what in the world? You know, one of the things about cooking is you're constantly eating. Oh my god!
Yeah, this is the problem. I think that, but honestly, I never listen. This is the thing about me. Something I learned a long time ago: never comment on anyone's weight ever. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've lost weight or put on weight. Do not comment. You have no idea what people are going through at any point in time for you to say, "Oh, wow, you've lost so much weight. You look great. Oh, wow, life is good for you." And I'm like, "Fuck off." Sorry, I really hate it.
People are so mannerless.
Yeah, it's a lack of
How do you
Umenona? Exactly. Yeah.
Imagine. Like, I will slap that umenona out of your tongue. Like, what in the world? Like, people are so reckless with their tongue. So, so reckless.
Oh, it is. It's a very African thing, by the way. It's a very African thing. Yeah. So, I don't comment on people's weight. I never do. If I do feel like there's something I need to say, I'll always say, you look good.
Yeah.
If I think you look good. Yeah. Not just because we need to have
nothing nice to say. Just like,
don't say it at all. Nice to see you. Yeah, you know. But there's no need to be too straightforward about the whole weight thing. But anyway, what I'm trying to say, circling back, is that it's I think even before we, you know, recorded today, when we had our conversation last week, I realized, like, there's so much we can talk about. And if we let this keep going, we'll be here until God knows what o'clock. But it's very true. I think what your dad says is really true. You've got a great command of the English language, as he thinks. I think he just means that you're very eloquent and you're entertaining. But, you know, it's also like, again, your warmth, your laugh, your ability also to self-reflect. It's very heartwarming. And I think this is going to be the reason why people want to come to your page, is because I leave feeling like there's a sense of, it just feels very nice. I feel like even after our conversation last week, I left the chat and I was like, oh, that was just so nice to catch up with Angela. And I was like, you know, it's definitely a very heartwarming experience. And I'm really crossing my fingers for you that, you know, your page works out, your content
booms.
I'm praying that it all works out for you. So as we come to the end, I want to give you some room to tell everyone where they can find you, what you're doing, you know, what's coming up, and plans for the future.
Yeah. All right, so basically, you had mentioned at the beginning, Angeline Wanjai, that's the name of all my platforms. You can find me on YouTube, Angeline Wanjai. You can find me on Instagram, Angeline.Wanjai, on TikTok, Angeline Wanjai, on Twitter, Angeline Wanjai, on Facebook, Angeline Wanjai. What was the other one?
YouTube? I think you said all of them.
Yeah, I've said all
of them. So, I guess, what are your plans for the future? So you said you're going into lifestyle content soon. And what are your plans for the future? Are we seeing, what's in the pipeline? I don't want to ask the obvious question because I think you know what I'm going to ask.
Dating.
You know what?
No.
Oh, okay. God, Jesus.
I'm not dating. I'm not in the space for it right now because this period is all about me working on myself. And honestly, I feel like when God feels I am ready, because the one thing I don't want to do is for God to send me my perfect gift and for me to misuse it and abuse it because I don't know how to handle it. You know, so. That's one of the reasons I don't want to rush anything. I don't want to be in a hurry. That it's not even in my headspace. Like once I prayed to God about that, it just left me. Like I was just like, now it's in God's hands. So about men dating and stuff like that, I leave that up to God. I mean, I've tried doing things with my own strength, on my own timing. You've seen what has happened in all those relationships that I've been in. So in that regard, I'm just going to let God take over. And then where my content is concerned, as I've mentioned, I upload a lot of recipes and also insightful and inspiring conversations. So that's one thing people can get from all my pages. So please go like, share, comment, follow,
subscribe.
Exactly. And then what's coming? Well, I do have a lot of plans, and I'm a firm believer in not speaking on what your plans are, because as much as we...
Because the devil is alive.
The devil is alive. That's exactly what I was going to say. As much as we want to tell people about what is happening in our lives, I feel like let just people see and witness when things happen. So yes, I have a lot of plans that wake me up every morning. I have a lot of plans. I have so many goals, Koi. Sometimes I can't even sleep out of the excitement of it all. And
I'm
just working towards that. Exactly. And that's all I can say. I'm just working towards that. And one thing I can say about content creation, it is not for the weak.
Yeah.
It is not for the weak because, I mean, a lot of the times we put out work and you don't even get the recognition that you feel it deserves.
Yeah.
It's very easy for you to give up at that point.
Yeah.
And it's very easy for you to start believing negative things about yourself, like you're not good enough, you're not creative enough. You're not going to accomplish anything. All this is for nothing. And that's one of the reasons people give up and end up not being successful. We end up believing the lies about ourselves that aren't true, you know? So even when things don't seem to be working out just the way you expect them, just keep at it. Because as long as you know you are doing the right thing, as long as you know you are doing what God has put in your heart to do, you can't go wrong, you know? Just do your best. Put out your best work, Koi, and God will handle the rest. And also don't forget that sometimes when things are not working out the way you expect them to, it is God testing you. He's trying to see like, okay, let's see how she handles this situation, you know?
Yeah.
So if you quit and you give up, you're basically telling God that you're not ready. So keep fighting, keep pushing, wake up in the morning, even when you don't feel like, get out of bed, even when you don't feel like. And I promise you, it may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, but God is going to reward your hard work. You just keep doing what you know He's put in your heart to do, what you've been put on this planet to do, and the stars will align. I firmly believe that the stars will align. Don't worry about the views, don't worry about the likes. Eventually things, you remember Elsa Majimbo?
Yes, I remember.
This
she is
used to put out content. Kenyans used to hate on that chick about how she looks. about her content. And then one day people just woke up and Rihanna was talking about Elsa Madrigal.
My
friend.
Exactly.
The audience that you're catering to may not recognize your worth, but God will open up the eyes of more bigger and more powerful people. Everyone will just be like, how did this girl get here?
Don't doubt your talent, just keep doing what you do.
And then also remember, no one can do you better than you.
So stay true to yourself as well. No, but that's really that's really, really nice words. And you know, I think that it's been very it's also been very nice to see you really be consistent and keeping at it. And I, you know, I've told myself that with this as well, I'm gonna keep at it. I'm going to, and because ultimately the only person I can fail is myself. So I'm going in with what do I feel? I feel so rewarded every time I do this. I feel so good after every time I've recorded a podcast. I have so much fun sitting here having monologues with myself, sounding like a mad woman. I don't even know what the what my neighbors think, but so be it. But thank you, Angela. Thank you for sharing your story with me, the difficult parts, you know, the funny parts. Thank you for being so vulnerable. And I cannot express my gratitude enough for your time, for you just, bringing joy to my podcast as well, making me laugh, making us reminisce on good things. And I really hope that listeners, you know, you've heard stuff that hits home with you or things that you feel inspired about. Please go and check out Angela's pages, her YouTube, her Instagram, her TikTok, her Facebook, her Twitter or X, whatever it is. She's told you the handles. I'm going to put them in the description. And on that note, thank you very much. This has been the Wine and Uncorked Chronicles podcast with Miss Angeline Mashira Wanjeri. Go hit her up. Thank you all. And here's to life's stories. Thank you, Angela. If you've enjoyed the journey, don't forget to raise your glass, leave a like, share your thoughts, let me know your favorite moment. Until next time, continue savoring the richness of life's mysteries. This is Sylvie signing off from Wine and Uncorked Chronicles. See you on the next episode.